Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That, but I'm just thinking about other guys like Warren Moon, who are in the Hall of Fame, Dan Fouts. Now, Fouts retired at the time.
Fouts was also a trendsetter, and Warren Moon has insane stats when you combine his two careers. I know he's only on the NFL side of it.
So I think the Browns win a Super Bowl with Ben.
All right. Well, but you're also very much more like
pro-Ben. Everybody knows that, and you're very anti-Ben.
But to just
play your game, is Ben in the Hall of Fame if he has the same numbers but no Super Bowls? I would say history right now says he won't be there.
Okay.
Now, if Phillip Rivers gets in, then that changes
the paradigm. But that was the guy I had in mind because Rivers has a similar career, just no titles. My overall thought on this, the reason I bring that whole Ben idea up with the Browns is I think like you have plenty of reason to trust that Sean McVay, were he to put Aaron Rodgers under center in the Rams offense, had the Stafford thing fallen through, would have gotten way more out of Rodgers than this offense and this head coach will do. Like, because McVay just simplifies everything for quarterbacks. He operates at a very high level. He runs stuff off the Shanahan tree, obviously.
So you think there's a place where Aaron Rodgers could go and still play good football? You just don't think it'll happen here?
Yeah, I think there's a far lesser chance it'll happen here than it would in the Rams system. Yeah, how could you not? I mean, that's just like basic 101 stuff here, man.
So where are the places you think Aaron Rodgers could go and theoretically lead a team to a playoff win?
Rams, Niners, Shanahan system stuff.
How about Kansas City?
Probably, because I still think Andy Reid, even though he doesn't run the Shanahan system, runs a really good system.
How about Philly? I don't know if he'd be running the tush push. That would probably be taken out of their offense with a 41-year-old.
He's still got like,
or they'd have to run it with somebody else.
I still think he sees it quicker than Jalen Hurts does. And so if they protected him, and they have a great roster, I think he could win a playoff game. But Hurts is like perfect for there.
How about Detroit?
Under Ben Johnson previously, because we don't know
Detroit
how it's going to go. Again, really good roster, but no, because they started to loot. Ragnow retired. Like, they lost some line guys. They got questions. I think Goff's going to have to prove it a little more this year. How about if he was with, like, McDaniel in Miami? I think he could probably win one there. Because he wouldn't have the whole anti-cold weather bias that, like, all of their players do. He would actually...
Yeah, but those other players would still feel it. I don't think he would.
I think Tua, though, has problems there more than, like, a lot of people. And it's because Tua's arm is made out of, like, a cooked spaghetti noodle by three quarters of the way through the year. No, but I guess my point here is, like, we could go down the line and say this team, or this team. That's not the greatest exercise to do.
I know, but what you're saying, though, to
there are certain places where he could go where I think there's enough arm talent left and enough know-how where the offense could be catered to his strengths, and I think he could operate it at a high enough level. I don't think he's about to play for a team that checks those boxes. And I don't think he's about to play for a head coach whose all-consuming focus is trying to get the most out of the quarterback that he has. I mean, Mike's focus last year, even with Russ, once Russ started to turn the ball over a little bit, was how can this guy not lose this game for us? that's not really the environment that I want to put like a quarterback in of Roger's stature and say like, all right, I'm going to hope for good things here.
It's a big year for Tomlin and Arthur Smith because one of the reasons why Ben wasn't successful at the end of his career is the same reason why people make apologies for Kenny Pickett's career, and that's Matt Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That Ben had to learn Matt Canada's offense, and we found out Matt Canada's offense was not an NFL offense.
Correct.
So that held him back, but Ben did play better when he basically got to play outside of the offense late in games. Now, there's prevent defense and things like that, too, but, I mean, I think it's fair to say if Ben Roethlisberger had a competent offensive coordinator at the end of his career, they would have been an even better team. And he would have been a better quarterback.
If Ben had a guy that was really a good rep guy who he also respected, I think it would have worked out better than people think.
But what I'm saying, though, is we still have not seen a situation where an offensive coordinator has looked good post-Canada mm-hmm. or a quarterback has looked so good post-Canada where it's like all Matt Canada's fault and not on Mike Tomlin. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is held back here because the offense is very conservative and they're playing a style of play, which is let's not lose games, then we're going to have to do the whole chicken and egg thing again of are they doing this because they think Aaron Rodgers is shot, or is this just who Mike Tomlin is now?
Or wants to be
right.
as like a coach.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of how to frame this. The biggest, because you know Tomlin's not getting fired by Art Rooney. We just know that's not going to happen. My biggest concern for the Steelers' long-term future is that even if he were to draft, let's just use Drake May as an example, right? A guy who has obviously prodigious natural ability.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have to kind of put him in a system like you maybe do with Bo Nix in the way he's playing for Denver. If Mike were to draft a guy where even he says, hey, Lenora Sellers, I get it. You're like, man, just look at what you're capable of. Of course we want to bring you in here because we think you can be great. But then you see that he's got the restrictor plate
look
on
at
him.
This, man. Oh,
these two dudes who are like a young pony and Mulsey back in the day, hooking us up with hole-in-one donuts. You didn't have to do that. That's unbelievable.
What's your name, pal?
Zayden.
What's your name?
You're a legend. As the guy here
Vincent.
Look at what he's bringing us
oh,
right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Pepperoni rolls, it looks like.
Holy moly.
What's that?
Okay.
There's mashed potatoes and pepper and onions
oh,
in there,
Oh, my Halsey. Goodness, dude.
And fries, which is always a hit. Thank you so much, sir.
These kids are...
Amanda just brought these same
these
exact golf-themed donuts back after she was here Tuesday, and they're amazing.
He was asking earlier. I was, like, doing the whole, no, we're good on food. We're good. But, like, what a gesture
What's
by the guys.
What's your friend's name, Zayden?
Vincent over here.
Vincent.
Vincent and Zayden. Well,
like
we're getting a picture
guys.
With these guys. They asked about that, and I said, don't worry. But no. To finish the point here, because now I've got all this food in front of me, just as a quick thought, like, my big worry with Mike, who I there's some small part of me that wants to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's, like, made this, like, prison of his own design for himself here by chasing these quarterbacks who obviously have fatal flaws. Rodgers is that he's 41 and he's not what he used to be anymore. Is that if and when he gets a guy who you say, okay, high pedigree, has never played, there's no scar tissue from another system like there was with Fields. If he still puts the restrictor plate on, then it's like, Mike...
Yeah.
That's who you want to be, and that's what you want your team to be, and that doesn't work anymore. It worked in 2008. You could actually do that. Ben didn't have great stats. He could still make great plays. That isn't the NFL in 2025.
I got to be honest with you. The more I hear from the people that have a dissenting opinion on Rodgers who think he's still got great football in him and it wasn't his fault what happened in New York, the more I hear that, the more naturally I want to stick up a little bit for Russell Wilson here. And here's why. For every person that says, well, the Jets are a train wreck, the Jets suck, mm-hmm. it's all on them, no one goes to the Jets and plays well, we've all written off Russell Wilson, and I'm guilty of that as well. I don't think he's got really anything left. They did have a losing streak at the end of the year that coincided with two things. Great teams on a very short schedule, and their number one receiver got hurt, and they had no wide receivers behind him. So if Aaron Rodgers gets a pass because his offensive line was bad, there's no pass for Russell Wilson with Steelers fans when he had Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin to throw the ball to and no threat in the passing game in their offense. And not to mention, if you believe the narrative that's out there, he has a great game calling plays. The best game by a Steelers quarterback we've seen post-Ben was that game in Cincinnati. And they flipped out because he basically went rogue, and they took all that privilege away from him.
That's the one that's always stuck with me from last year. You saw the results, albeit against a bad defense, and that was your response,
right.
That's true.
So I just don't understand how people have it both ways where they're like, Rodgers got screwed in New York. Well, how about another Hall of Fame quarterback here last year?
The eye test gives me very much like pause, though, about doing too much apologia for Russell Wilson.
I don't want to do that,
but
Chris,
you have
I was
to,
ready to move
no,
on,
but
too.
I think you're raising a fair point that you have to at least consider the situation
there
around
there is context
him.
To his
yes,
struggles,
it's not,
for sure.
It's not a completely context-devoid situation.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, he's not Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, but he is the king of golf and the king of Oakmont in Pittsburgh, and that is, of course, a living legend, one half of the Pomp and Joe Show, KDK TV sports director for more than 40 years, live at the U.S. Open right now. Bob Pompiani joins us. Bob, of everything out there you could cover, the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Final, the Steelers in the Super Bowl, shockingly, the Pirates in the World Series, where does being in person at a U.S. Open rank?
Well, Pony, that's a hard question because you would like to be in all those just because of the adrenaline rush that comes from being in an event like this. But, I mean, when you're talking about Super Bowl, you're talking about Stanley Cup Finals. We've been fortunate enough to cover them and be part of those. Anytime you get that to that stage, it's incredible. This is different, though. This is a week-long version, and you see build-up to what it's going
to be. It's a marathon,
like.
Bob. It's not a sprint.
It is, and you know it's four rounds, and while you can talk about somebody who shot very well today, like J.J. Spahn, bogey-free, only the eighth time in the history of any U.S. Open at Oakmont. Eighth, think about that. Eighth out of any round that's been played here in the now 10 U.S. Opens, only eight have been bogey-free. That's what he did today. But he can also lose this event by shooting 78 tomorrow. That's the fun part about it. There are ups and downs. You got to be able to do it consistently. And we saw Patrick Reed just, and we were out walking. Of course, I missed this. I was on the other side, but I heard the roar. And he just made a two on the par 5 fourth hole, which is a ridiculously long, well-bunkered hole. And to put in the hole in two, that's the
he didn't even drop. Know. That's, he didn't even know, Bob. He had to ask them. Like, he pointed down, like, did it go in?
So and he people, gets, so it's, yeah, it's a minus
shot,
three.
It's 300.
Right?
It's the rarest
you know
shot
that.
In golf.
Yep.
Bob,
can't
can
see
you
see it from where he hit his shot?
No, you can't. You're right. Because you're right. I have played that hole like you have, and you can't see it. Can you name, it is just the fourth known albatross in U.S. Open history, Bob. Can you name any of the other three golfers who have accomplished the feat? One did it in 1985, one in 2010, and one in 2012.
Oh, my God. No, I know the only one in the Masters that I knew of was Gene Sarazen on number two, the par five. But I don't remember any of those other ones. Who were they?
T.C. Chen at Oakland Hills in 85. We all know him because he double-hit the ball. Sean McKeel, former PGA champion at Pebble Beach in 2010, and the legend that is Nick Watney at Olympic Club in 2012, Bob.
How about that?
Bob, am I right to say that in a way you would almost rather just sit and watch guys warm up on the range than actually watch the action on the course?
Well, I mean, if you're going to walk it, it's hard to walk and see everything. You know,
it really
that's why
is.
Television is made
is
for
tough.
Golf. You can sit there for all day and watch this stuff if you're really into it, and because the camera will take you to every possible shot that you need to see in sequential order. The range is great because you can go down here, and we have access to watch and go up close enough to see how these guys actually prepare. And I'm a big fan of that. I love to see what they're working on. But, man, when you get out here, you just got to survive. And that's, I think, the name of this one. There's a lot of carnage. I was talking to Neil Shipley yesterday. He mentioned carnage three different times unsolicited.
Wow.
When you hear golfers talk about carnage, we saw that today with, how about Shane Lowry? He makes an eagle today, and he still shoots 79. That's incredible to me.
Bob, I got more carnage news here. He's six holes in, and he started one under through two. Scottie Scheffler has made three bogeys now. He is plus two on the front nine, six holes into his championship.
Yeah, I saw him. He hit both sides of the church pews on three and four. Now, when you hit the double church pews, you know, you're going to need to do a lot of soul searching, and you're going to have to go in there and pray a little bit in those church pews.
Bob, we all bow down to you when it comes to your golf knowledge. You have made some of the greatest golf predictions of all time. You had Ernie Els winning in 94. You picked Hideki Matsuyama at the Masters 6 years ago. You called that out. And then Jim Nantz said, what was it, a moment in the sun for Matsuyama.
Correct.
He evoked the flag of Japan.
Right.
But Bob, this year, it's 3:19 on Thursday. Your two picks are already dead. Tommy Fleetwood, 74. Lucas Glover, 74. You're out.
Well, no, not so fast. And Chris will tell you about this. You can follow 74 with a 66, 67 if you're good enough to do it. And somebody, even the winning score here, somebody's going to have a round that's going to be, you're not going to find many rounds in the 60s, but you can get back into it. The leading score right now is minus four. That's it. So that means you're eight shots off the lead.
They're done, Bob.
Eight shots.
They're RIP. DOA.
I mean,
dead on arrival.
They may be. But what if J.J. Sponz goes out and shoots 74 tomorrow, someone shoots 69? Now you're making up five, you're down three instead of eight. It's a long, as Chris said, this is a marathon, baby. Andrew, he goes up and down, and with this gnarly rough, and the way the green speeds are going to just continue to get faster, I'm telling you, you'll be lucky to be under par when this thing's all said and done.
No one at Oakmont has come back, I think, from a bigger deficit. Six is the biggest after round one. That was Larry Nelson in 1983. Did you know when he made that 65-foot putt at 16
to win on
Monday, who was right next to him? Pomp.
Me.
No. He was right there. 100%.
And yeah, you knew it was in all the way, didn't you, Pomp?
No, I was thinking he was going to three-putt. You know, I mean, that's kind of how that green is over there. But, you know, I'll tell you this. You look back at some of these things that you've seen over the years, and in 1994, I'll go even back to Johnny Miller. Right? Johnny Miller shot 63 on the final day. The history of his Saturday suggested by his own admission that he thought he was dead. So he played with a whole different attitude. Mm-hmm. The story goes he lost his rangefinder. He couldn't go out on Saturday, so he didn't have distances. And back then, those were a big part. You didn't have caddies to carry. You carried them, and he left them in his hotel room. So he shot 76 on Saturday, thought he was dead, Pony. Just remember this. He followed with a 63, made up a whole bunch of ground after starting birdie on the final day en route to the best, you know, final round score in U.S. Open history.
He lost his rangefinder in 73. They had those? What was it, a tape measure?
they had these little, and they're totally different. They were like thin, like, I don't know, tubes almost. But you could use them back then. So,
I'm imagining,
I mean,
like a pirate at sea, like getting one of those like little eyeglasses.
I know what you're
out.
Talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they have those, and they also have the yardage books and all the stuff the caddies do it. So whatever it was, he did not have access to yardage and the way he would normally do it, and he shot 76. And in his admission, he's going to be here, by the way, tomorrow. He and Jack Nick was talking about that round. He basically said that
Why is he not on NBC anymore? That's a terrible job by them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because he became too critical. I don't know why. But
well, that's what people want to hear. People don't want to hear soft peddling of, like, if so-and-so throws out a four-putt.
I don't want to hear Jeff Ogilvie kiss everybody's ass for 4 days.
I want to hear somebody be critical when it's right. I want to hear somebody saying, what was he thinking there? Why is he making this play at this time?
I agree. They also demoted Paul Singer.
You know who also good at that? Brandel Chambly
is
good at that.
Yes, he is.
And Brandel Chambly has called out a lot of guys. And I think that's good to do. There's no, I mean, it's all in just, you know, coverage. It has nothing to do with any personal feelings here. You're just saying this guy should have done that at the bad, but whatever it is. And I think he did that too much, and he annoyed. But anyway, that 73, I mean, that 19 in the 73 Open, follow with 76 with the 63 is pretty amazing. So
Bob,
don't rule it out yet, Pony. Don't rule it out yet. If Fleetwood comes through tomorrow, I'll be texting.
All this in service of defending your Fleetwood pick. What do you make of this guy? Because Brooks Koepka's two under. He's two off the lead. He makes the eagle at four, Bob, but this is what would have me arching an eyebrow if I were the rest of the field. What I think that guy has done better than almost anybody in the U.S. Open, winning it twice when he's won them. I know at Aaron Hills he went low because that was kind of weird. But when he wins majors, he just churns out pars, takes the opportunities when he gets them, and just doesn't really go backwards much.
He loves these tournaments.
Six pars and an eagle, and suddenly if that guy gets a taste of blood again, I think he's going to be around on the weekend. I don't think, as long as he gets through this round without giving a bunch back early in this tournament, I think you're going to have to deal with 35-year-old Brooks Koepka the rest of the way.
I don't think there's any question. He has the pedigree to do it, and he plays his best in these kinds of events. And he has the history to show
it. Who is he related to, Bob?
Dick Groat.
Yes.
Dick Groat was his
and
great uncle. Does great uncle qualify as a relative in Bob Pompeiani's opinion or a distant relative?
Well, for me, in when we're talking about Italian heritage, we're all related somehow. If you have vowels in your name, we're somehow related. So I may be related to both of you guys. I just, I don't, to me, that's, that's still in the blood.
Yeah. Well, Bob,
Brooks Koepka is a good choice at this point. Now we'll see what he does the rest of the way. Well, he's in the rough here on one of these.
It's funny you mentioned that. The updated odds are out right now on FanDuel. Scheffler, despite being, what is he, Mulsey, two over?
He has moved backwards. He had a two over.
So he is six shots back.
Three over in his last four holes, yep.
And he is still the favorite at plus 450. Spahn is actually now the second favorite at 11-1. Your two golfers at 12-1, John Rahm, and another very trendy pick this week, Colin Morikawa, 12-1 on FanDuel.
Did you pick Rahm? Who picked Rahm? Did you pick that? Who is it, Chris or you, Paul?
I got him in our draft. I got him.
I picked Oberg as my pick to win.
By the way, the guy I really like, and I didn't tell you about this, but when we did our special last week, Rich Walsh and I threw out the name Christian Bezuten out, and he is now 2 under par.
You've thrown out like 100 names. You do enough shows, you get to throw out like 30 names. So
I like that name.
Yes, I know you
He plays on the World DP Tour. He's really good, and he's playing well today so far. But
his last name was just Hout, and it was just you said the word Hout, would you have picked him?
No.
Or did you pick
it.
Him because you enjoyed the name?
I like the name, and I used to love it when tennis finals would have Slobodan Zivojinovic against Goran Ivanišević.
Bob, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the golf.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay.
This Oakmont update is brought to you by True Green, the official lawn care of the PGA, White Claw, and Jim Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek.
All right, we are live here at Oakmont Bakery. Malzi is making a great impression with so many of our listeners who now are telling us things like, wow, I thought you guys were in crappy shape.
We just had a listener come up and say one of the nicest compliments. Yeah, you guys, the way people talk about you, you think you're like two blobs out there who can't do anything. He goes, you guys are in good shape.
Jeff Hathorn is back with us. He is up at Oakmont taking it all in. He's been there all day. He'll be there all week. And Jeff, I would say the story right now in terms of guys out there on the course, Scottie Scheffler, we're seeing some chinks in the armor. He's been invincible. This guy, for a period of time, had more wins in May than the Colorado Rockies, and he won the PGA. It's a true story. He is struggling right now. He did say before the tournament started that this would be the hardest golf course he'd ever play in his entire life, Oakmont this week, and I guess he's been clairvoyant because he does not look like the world number one right now. And tell us what's going on with him on the course, Jeff.
Yeah, and of course, you went through it. While you were going through that entire setup, he had his first or second birdie of the day after three bogeys and four holes. He is now plus one, but not what you expect from Scottie Scheffler. I mean, you would think Scheffler is going to run away with everything because of the way he's played.
That's what the betting odds said before this tournament. They were treating him like Tiger Woods.
I mean, when you look at it, only 3 of 6 fairways hit, and he did hit 5 of 7 greens, but his average putts per hole was tied for 78th. That's where he's not getting it done so far. Now, the good news for Scheffler fans is he's on the front nine. the front nine has been the harder nine specifically today. That's what makes what Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed and Sam Burns are doing very impressive, because they're doing it on the front. The scoring has mostly come from the back nine.
Malzy, when you played there, did you think the front nine and back nine were that different?
In terms of difficulty,
yeah.
It's a little different.
Would you have thought that coming into this, that
so
it would
it's a
play
little,
different like this?
I have to answer it this way. It's a little different being like a mid-handicapper or even just a non-pro, because we look at a hole like number 12, 600 yards or whatever it is, and you think, man, I got to crush the ball twice to get it close. These guys generally look at par 5s.
They're salivating over
as
that.
Scoring
ops.
Although that hole is one of the true par 5s left in the world, how long it is and how difficult it is. I actually would have said to you that I don't know about you, Jeff, but I actually thought that the more difficult holes coming in were coming in on the back. 12, I think, is difficult. 10, we know Tom Watson threw away a U.S. Open there, basically just made a huge mess of it one year. I want to say in 83, made double. I think 12 is tough. I think 15, 16, and 18 are all very difficult holes. I think you've got a chance on 14. You can get 17, obviously. But I would have thought that the back would have been a little tougher myself.
I think what you're seeing is 3, 4, 6, 8, and at times 9, although not as much with 9, have been an issue for these guys on this front 9. But I agree with both you guys. I didn't see the discrepancy we're seeing so far, especially since, okay, you could make that argument to me if it rained on you know, at one point in the day and didn't in another, or the winds were different. I mean, it's been the same conditions basically for everybody, and it's been a pretty consistent theme so far.
Jeff, the other thing I think that's a big story is just you mentioned what he's doing and being impressive. Koepka, to me, is now an immediate guy to watch just because of his history in this tournament. He makes the eagle, but then he's done – I said this to Pony before you came on. The thing that would have me arching an eyebrow is the fact that he's made a bunch of pars around that eagle. And he, at his best, is sort of like a tiger-like Terminator who will just take the opportunities when they present themselves and then just churn out pars and watch as the rest of the field falls off.
Yeah, and that's what J.J. Spahn did to lead out here. He just made a bunch of 5 to 10 and at one point a 30-footer for par.
He never bogeyed.
Right.
It's crazy.
He went through the entire course without a bogey, which, I mean, bogey-free rounds are always great. They're always impressive. But on this course, it's pretty fantastic.
Jeff, among the guys who really struggled today, DeChambeau 3-over, Rory 4-over. I don't want to include Mickelson because he's not really –
He's too old.
He's 4-over. But let's just go with those two, because those were obviously two of the three betting favorites and biggest names to win here. Do you think either has a chance of getting back into the tournament?
Well, I think Rory always has a chance.
Wow.
Because he's just that
Malzy's
talented.
Malzy's disagreed with that vociferously.
I just don't – the driver's not there for him, Jeff. And if the driver's not there, it's like putting kryptonite in your Superman or something. I mean, it's just – that's what makes him different.
When I looked at him at 2-under through three holes, his first three holes today, you thought, okay, it's just can he keep that consistency? And the 41 on the front nine, which was his last nine of the day,
man, that's
on pace for showed off some of that.
Holy crap, that's like no
right.
offense. That's like Matt Vogt territory. I said no offense.
By the way, right. And, of course, that means you could say anything after that. I loved how he described it, that he got punched in the face by the golf course.
Oh, is that what he said afterwards?
Yeah. He said, I knew it was hard, but it...
Did he say it, like, in good humor, or could you tell that he was like, okay, good?
Well, Jeff, don't you think a guy like Vogt making the tournament is, like, the real goal there? I mean, realistically speaking, the qualification in the first place is, like, the big prize for him.
And he said he'd never been up at 3:45 to get ready for a tee time before.
I thought about that, too, with him.
What about to get ready for a root canal?
Like, I let the dog out this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to take a leak, and I'm like, Matt Vogt's got to get himself, like, geared up to play the biggest round of golf in his life right now.
And I'm sure they have the lights on early, and frankly, it's probably light enough out at, like, 5-something to be actually see what you're doing on the range. But
that's still hard to do,
No,
man.
I know. It's different for those guys. That's why I say this. And I mean, again, mean no malice whatsoever. I think for Matt Vogt, the accomplishment is qualifying as a guy who has a day job and you know, is doing surgery on people's teeth. I think anything that happens here is almost found money for him.
I want to point this out about Vogt, too, as he said after the round, listen, I could go take a nap, I could go mope, but I'm going to go to work.
Good.
It's going to be better tomorrow. And he was going to head to the range and practice area and work on some things because, you know, as
he
much
might
as
never
he tried to put a silver lining
again.
On it.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And he wants to have that last round in the U.S. Open potentially be something that he's very proud of.
Jeff, we'll check back in next hour. Thank you.
See you then.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.